You guys are going to have to work with me on the slides. The clicker is dead. There's no batteries in this. So if we got any AAAs, may I run around there? Maybe someone grab those. If not, I'll just have you work with me, okay? Well, we get the awesome privilege today to jump into the person of the Holy Spirit, part two. So we're going to kind of pick up where we left off last week and continue to move through the series that we're going to be doing here over the next couple weeks. So let me just pray really quickly, and then we're going to jump right into this here this morning. Father, we just thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for the gift of God that you have provided to the church, that, Lord, you have given an agent to work with us, that God, to help us be ambassadors into the earth, to know you, to see you, to hear you, to walk with you, to obey you, Lord, to have relationship and fellowship with you. And, Lord, we thank you that the person of the Holy Spirit, Lord, is not a thing or an it or a gift, that he is the Spirit of you and Jesus yourself. And Holy Spirit, we invite you into this place, and we ask that you would manifest your will, you would manifest your presence on this message, upon the audio, the video that's going out on live stream, the podcast. Lord, we ask for the anointing of the Lord, that the instruction and the revelation of God would come upon me. Lord, as I speak, you would open up men and women's eyes and ears in the realm of the Spirit, that, Lord, you would embed something inside of them that men cannot give, but only you can through the gift of revelation. In Jesus' awesome and mighty name, amen. You know, we've been working through this thing on the person of the Holy Spirit, and this morning I want to dive into several more scriptures, and I'm continuing to lay a foundation, and I want you to realize that the Holy Spirit is not just meant to be delivered in a teaching, that he's a person. And so it's one thing to talk about a person, many times it's something else to reveal that person. But as we're moving through this, I want to begin, we're laying like wood. It's like we're laying foundation. We're laying things out of the scripture about him and who he is and ways that he reveals himself so that when he comes, how many of you know it's like you can recognize attributes. You can recognize things that aren't just spooky experiential that you had something happen in a meeting. You can't tie it back out of the Bible. How many of you know your experiences should be justified by scripture? They're not always verbatim, but you should be able to tie them back to the spiritual elements of and the principles of the scripture. And if not, you need to put that somewhere else out of your life and kind of shelf it for a little bit. But let's look at this. I want to begin to talk to you about knowing and walking with the Holy Spirit, part two. One of the things I want you to recognize is that the Holy Spirit is drawing us in this season. And as far into God and as far into the Holy Spirit as you want to go, you can go. As far into the Holy Spirit and as far into the realms of God and the revelation of God that you can imagine, you can become. The only thing that hinders men and women from moving forward in God is this challenge, or the question is, are you willing to pay the price for the thing that you're dreaming, for the thing that he's revealing? And the Holy Spirit is always working in your life. We talked about last week that he's the person of the Holy Spirit, that he has a nature and a characteristic and attributes. The Bible says that he weeps over us. It says that he laughs, that he rejoices, that he celebrates. He's got a dynamic personality. I've had the Holy Spirit tell me jokes. I've had the Holy Spirit come and comfort me. I've had him commune with me. I've had him tell me to shut my radio off as I was driving down the road just to talk with me. He's woken me up in the middle of the night to commune with me. He's not an it, he's a him. He's a person. And the way you get to know any person is by how you spend time with them and you dialogue with them and you watch them and you discover what they do and what they don't do. You watch how they minister through the lives of other believers and you recognize, wow, God fell on that, or I recognize his presence there, or I recognize his heart there. And you can begin to identify both out of the scripture and out of the experiential manifestation of God, his nature. And the goal of God is for you not to have a theoretical kind of knowledge of him, a bullet point knowledge of him. He wants you to discover him. He wants you to walk with him. And the goal of the Holy Spirit is that he's always coming to take you in God. He wants to get you in God, bring you to God, and then he wants to cause you to be like God. Okay, the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he's always trying to get you in God. And then once you're in God, he wants to bring you to God so that you can be more like God. And so the purpose of the Holy Spirit is not to have a prophecy or to have a tongue or to have a word of knowledge. Those are things that he does because of who he is, but those are tools that he's using at a higher purpose. Because the higher purpose is, I want to get you to God. I want to get you in God, to God, and then I want you to become like God or the nature of God. And so God is always moving to broaden your desire. He's always creating hunger in you. When God begins to visit you, you need to recognize that many times you're going to become unsettled. You're going to begin to become empty. You're going to begin to become dissatisfied. It's like, I'm not comfortable where I'm at. My worship isn't, it seems empty. The word just doesn't seem like it's doing what it used to do. My relationship, all of a sudden it's like you got a crank in your craw, that you know, some of that southern language. It's like you got something gnawing on the inside of you that's dissatisfied, and it's like God begins to shift you so that he can make you hungry to go find something else. Many times God, by the person of the Holy Spirit, will put questions in your mouth that he wants to answer for you. He begins to create opportunities and circumstances and situations that create questions in you and dissatisfaction in you and hunger in you to get you positioned so that you'll want to go find God some way different than recognizing he is God. He is the person of God, so that he can bring you, he can get you in God, bring you to God, so that you can have relationship and fellowship and nature change and you become more like God. So the way that I grow in my relationship with God is I grow in my relationship and my intimacy with the Holy Spirit just like I would any other person. Time spent produces quality relationship. Belief in him is not enough. I can just believe in my wife. I can just believe she's there, believe she exists, believe we're married, show you a certificate. But I guarantee you, if I have no quality time spent and no hours invested and dialogue invested, very soon I'll have a piece of paper with no relationship. And so the way that I'm growing in God is the same way that John the Baptist began to recognize when Jesus came onto the scene. It was less of me, more of you. And when the Holy Spirit begins to come into your life, the desire and the avenue and the highway and the pathway that he begins to move through your heart is he begins to create a spiritual desire in you that you cannot create in yourself that says, God, there must be something different. There must be something more. This can't be everything. I remember I used to tell God at times like, Lord, if this is it, I want to tell you I am completely disappointed. Because there was always this thing in me, there must be more. I've touched that in you. There must be more. I've seen you where I've laid on my face and felt your presence lay over me. There must be more. I've seen blind people's eyes open in Guatemala. I've seen miracles happen with my own eyes that medical science cannot justify. And I walk away from those moments and go, God, there must be more. And you know what I found? As far into me as you can imagine, son, you can become. As far into me as you can see, you can become. You just got to be willing to pay the price. You got to be willing to come to me. You got to be willing to be in me. You got to be willing to be made like me. You got to be willing for there to be less of you and more of me. And the Holy Spirit in this season is putting out an invitation to you, and he's inviting you into something that you can't manufacture, you can only receive. It's something you can't create, you can only accept the invitation. And you begin to walk with him into these places that become realms of intimacy with God, and your response becomes crucial because it's not me working to get into God, it's me receiving the things of God. Less of me, more of you. So we're going to begin to look at several things today. So this is walking with the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, part two. Can we go ahead and roll that slide over for me, please? We're going to read several scriptures here today, and I want to let the Bible talk for itself, and I'll make some different points. Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. I'm going to lay out, these are some of the texts we're going to work out of. We're going to talk around just to lay a foundation this morning. If we are living now by the Holy Spirit's power, let us follow the Holy Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us follow the Holy Spirit. In other words, he's going to take me by the hand and guide me somewhere that I've never been. It's not him just repeating the same journey. It's as I'm living in the Spirit's power, he is going to take me by the hand and lead me somewhere I've never been. And I'm going to follow him through the journey of my life to see what I've never seen, hear what I've never heard, do what I've never done, go where I've never been, touch what I've never touched, become what I've never become. Less of me, more of you. John chapter 6, verse 663, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. It is the Spirit inside of you. Listen, life does not come externally. Life comes internally. More toys, more TVs, more trips, more vacations, bigger cubicles, bigger offices. You can have the greatest pedigree. You can have the greatest resume. You can have in the life of a philosophical, educational, intellectual life, you can be elevated on the highest platform and go home and be dealing with deep depression and suicidal thoughts and demonic voices. You can make $1 million next week in your business transactions and have the emptiness of not feeling like you have any purpose or any real life, because those things are external. But the life of a man is given only out of the breath of the Holy Spirit, where the finger of God and the purpose of God kiss in the middle of your soul, and you begin to recognize, I was born for something greater. 1 Corinthians says this, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but we have received the Spirit who is from God. He doesn't come and overtake you, you receive him. He is an invited guest. Can I tell you, as I have journeyed with the Holy Spirit over the last I met the Holy Spirit when I was 7 years old. I got filled with the Holy Spirit on a playground. I got filled with the Holy Spirit on a Sunday night service standing by my grandmother in a church, in a Baptist church that didn't believe in the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And he fell on me. And all of a sudden, the voice of God went active in me. And I remember walking around a playground in fourth and fifth grade praying in tongues, not knowing exactly what I was doing until this evangelist came through our church. And we began to understand, it's like I had an encounter with God. Led my first person to the Lord when I was in fourth grade. The conviction of God began to come on me. And this journey and this intimate relationship began to come into my life where I didn't have someone to describe it. I met God. He chose that decision. But it's like, it didn't just overtake. It's like, he came to me. And over the years, he comes and he knocks on the door of your heart. And he invites you to come into a journey with him so you can do and be and touch and see what you have not had the opportunity to do. And the only way I go through that door is I receive that invitation. But how many know if you're not looking for the invitation, you can miss your invitation? If you don't believe in the invitation, you won't even be aware of the invitation. And so your posture of knowing how God wants to visit you and invite you into things becomes very critical, very crucial. I receive the Holy Spirit in my life. I receive his dealings. I receive his voice. I receive his revelation. I receive his wisdom. I receive his word. I receive his shaping. I receive his leading. I receive his guidance. And the moment I resist it, he steps away, because he's a gentleman. He will go with you 1,000,000 miles where he's invited. But because he's given you a free will, the moment you resist, he'll prod, he'll invite, he'll encourage, but he gives you the opportunity to step away. Why is that so crucial? Because it's like if you're not looking for him and that dissatisfaction comes and he's going, Scott, come and be alone with me. There's some things I want to show you. And I don't rightly define the dissatisfaction. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go grab a big bag of chips. I'm going to turn on the TV. And I'm going to begin to try to fulfill the emptiness with external things when he's trying to fill the emptiness with spiritual things. I receive them. I'm aware. That's why he wept over Jerusalem. Jerusalem, don't miss your day of visitation. And the Lord is becoming, and it's like he's handing out RSVPs of invitations to go, I want to take you somewhere different, but I'm going to come, and the invitation's going to come, but you have to receive the invitation. You have to receive the invite, recognize the request, and then respond and come be with me. Let's keep going. I'll get stuck on that scripture. but we have received the Spirit who is from God so that we may know what is given to us by God. Why do we receive him? So he can reveal to you the gifts that God has for you. Your next day is in him. The Bible says in the book of Psalms or Proverbs, I'm trying to think of the right scripture, it says this. It says, wisdom and understanding are in his mouth. Counsel is in the mouth of the Lord. It's not in, what do you guys all think about? Yes, there's wisdom in the multitude of counsel, but sometimes you want the wisdom, the multitude of counsel that's giving you wisdom better be coming from God or you'll end off in a ditch. And so you need to know that wisdom and understanding are in his mouth and he's coming. And it says that when the Holy Spirit comes and you receive him, he comes to reveal to you the things being given to you by God so that you can make right decisions, career paths, marriage paths, parenting paths, ministry paths, whatever decisions in front of you, God alone carries the wisdom to keep you engaged. John 16, I am telling you the truth when I say this. Jesus said this. It is profitable that I go away, because if I don't go away, the comforter, the counselor, the helper, the advocate, the intercessor, the strengthener, the standby, all the multifamily. I told you I had 160 names out of the scripture last week. Jesus says, listen, I'm in the earth. I'm down here one man. You can't all get to me, but it's important that I go away to the Father, because when I do, the promise and the gift of God is going to come back to you. Say the promise and the gift. Listen, remember I talked last week, what you value and what you treasure, you handle differently than common things. And if I recognize the Holy Spirit is a gift from the Father and that he is just not of God, he is God, I will handle this relationship differently. I'll begin to desire it and I'll treasure it and protect it differently than if it's just something I can access on my journey. Okay, so I'm telling the truth, Jesus says, it's profitable that I go away, because if I don't go away, The Comforter or the Holy Spirit will not come to you into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you. Where does he want to be? In close fellowship. This is Jesus talking, okay? Now that's the Amplified version. I don't know that Jesus added that little parenthesis on there, but that's what he was insinuating, is when he comes, he wants to be in close fellowship with you. Does God want to be with Scott Woodard or Paul Kidd more than you? Absolutely not. God wants to walk with every believer the same, intimately with you, in your intimate relationship with God. And he said, it's important that I go away, because if I do, I'm going to send you a gift and a treasure that will be close and have fellowship with you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, let's go down here. This is the goal of walking with the Holy Spirit. This is the goal of everything in the heart of God. It says, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Uh-oh. I'm the house, I'm the throne of heaven is inside of me. Do you know the Bible said, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. In other words, when the Holy Spirit and God and you surrender your life to Jesus comes to take up residency inside of you, he comes to sit on the throne of God inside of your heart. The rulership of God begins to take place on the inside of you out of the voice of the Holy Spirit that's inside of you. And he says, don't you realize that this body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? That means what I do in the earth is important. What I don't do in the earth is important. Why? Because I'm not just a man on the earth hoping to reach God in heaven. I am the very throne of heaven, walking at Walmart, walking into Food Line. Jesus and the Holy Spirit want to reside in me, and where I go, he goes with me, and where I don't go, he doesn't go with me. What I do in the earth matters, because it's not just about what I'm doing for God, it's what I'm doing with God in the earth. And he says, don't you realize that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit? He wants to reside in you. And it says, and he was given to you by God. Let's keep going. You don't belong to yourself, for God bought you with a price. Uh-oh. That means this thing with the Holy Spirit matters. I'm not my own. I was bought with the blood of Jesus. I was named after his name. Okay, let's keep going. So you must honor God with your body. Here's the verse. The person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. The goal of God and his communion with you is covenant. The goal of God, this scripture comes out of Corinthians. It's actually, see what kind of kids we got in the room? It's actually the passage where it's talking about not joining yourself with unwrongfully out of marriage relationship and a sexual content. It's talking about the joining of two becoming one. And he goes on to say, he says, listen, the same way a marriage covenant is made and the two become one, he said, it's not as what you do in the natural matters and what you do in the spirit matters. And he said, the man and woman who joins himself to the Lord comes into a place of covenant with me and the two become one. And what is in me should be living in you, and the nature in me should begin to live in you, and the desires in me should begin to live in you. And it says that he who joins himself to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. John 17 says, Father, that they would be one as we are one, you in me and I in them and them in you. The goal of God and the Holy Spirit is to do what? I want to bring you to God. I want to get you in God, bring you to God, to be like God, so that we walk together from now through eternity. The goal of the relationship of the Holy Spirit is oneness with the Lord. The goal of the dealings of God is your oneness with the Lord. The goal of the disciplines of God is your oneness with the Lord. The convictions of sin is about your oneness with the Lord. It's not about a mean judge. It's about a father who says, no, I can't go there. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Don't go there. You're carrying me in the earth, and I want to reveal myself to you. You can't go there. Go. I am with you. I want you to go here. I want you to say this. I want you to do that. Why? He leads you out of oneness and covenant, so that your journey is fluid and the beauty of all he is in you comes to pass. Amen? All right, let's keep going. Go ahead and roll that slide over for me, please. So I want to begin to walk you through a number of other scriptures here. In the book of John, it begins to describe the Holy Spirit as the person. In John 14, it says, Jesus says this. He says, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. There's a calling. I love God. Do you obey? I'm a Christian. Do you obey? You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Do you watch what you shouldn't watch? Do you go where you shouldn't go? Do you fellowship with whom you shouldn't fellowship? Do you read what you should? Do you talk about what you should? Are you searching out what you should? Are you being a faithful steward of what you should? He says, if you love me, you will obey my commands. And listen to this. And, that's a conjunction, right? In other words, one's dependent on the other. If you love me, you will obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, the counselor, the helper, the intercessor, the advocate, all that you need, that he may remain with you forever. The goal of God is to get you in God, near God, acting like God, so that he can begin to move through you and your journey can unfold with God. Less of me, more of you. Do you see this? Okay. Mike Green told me last week, he's like, man, I feel like I was in a Bible college class. I'm just like, I'm laying a lot of foundation in Scripture, but I want the Scripture to speak, not men's opinion. Let's just keep moving for time's sake. He says that he may remain with you forever. How long does the Holy Spirit want to be with you? Forever. Well, you fell down last week and you sin. Does God step in and out of your life? I'm with you this week, not with you next week. With you this week, not with you. No, there are things that will make God step away, but how many of you know you got to walk through some stuff and you got to make some decisions for that, and we'll look at those in a moment. But I want you to recognize this. Like he said, the goal is that we are starting eternity now. We're starting the longevity of eternity now, okay? He goes, and to remain with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, and it can't take him into their heart or receive them, because it does not see him or know him or recognize him. But you know him, and you recognize him, for he lives with you constantly, and he will be in you. That's talking about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I mean, we'll look at this in another week, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not a Pentecostal thing. It's a Jesus thing. It's a God thing. That God wants to be both with you through the gift of salvation, and he wants to come upon you under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and he wants to come within you for the infilling of God, so that the nature, the Bible says, the divine nature of God can begin to live in you. So it's one thing to be born again. It's another thing to be empowered for the reason you were put on the earth. Those are two totally different things, and we'll look at that separately. Right now we're talking about him coming in you, not on you. Okay? So He goes on to say, the Spirit of truth in the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him, but you know him and recognize him, for he lives within you and will with you and will be in you. And he goes on to say, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. Who's going to come to you? That's Jesus. Jesus in red letters. Jesus said, I am going to come to you. How am I going to come to you? Through the person of the Holy Spirit in the earth, I'm going to reveal myself to you. I won't leave you as orphans. I'm going to come to you. How? Through the person of the Holy Spirit. Listen, Jesus said, I'm going to come to you, right? Say that. Say, Jesus said, I'm going to come to you. How? Through the person of the Holy Spirit. It goes on to say in John 15, verse 26, when the Helper comes, whom I will send from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, whom proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. He's going to glorify God. He's going to reveal God to you. He's going to reveal the nature of God to you, right? John chapter 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place to represent me and act on my behalf, he will teach you all things. Who's going to teach you? The Holy Spirit. Listen, it's very important that you get to know him. He's not just a cloud. He's not, you know, I feel the cloud of God in the room, the Holy. He's not a cloud. He may manifest in ways that you recognize and reveal because he's still a spirit, but he's a person. And so it says that he will teach you all things. And it says, and he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said. God wants to begin to practically walk with you and teach you in ways that you cannot teach yourself. Let me give you a couple quick examples. Many years ago, I was really asking God, I had a struggle with a scripture that I didn't understand in the Bible. And I would read it, and I'm like, God, I don't get it. I don't understand what this is saying. And it frustrated me. I was like, it can't be that hard. I just am obviously ignorant in this area. And quite a while went on. And I remember somebody gave me a book, and the book was about 300 pages. Now, if you know me, 300 pages to me is like reading the North and South. I mean, it's just like, you know, Gone with the Wind type. I've never read a book that thick in my life. And so it was faithfully on my end table where a book that thick should be. And so I was sitting there one day, and the Holy Spirit, I was praying and I was preparing for a meeting, for a prayer meeting that night. And all of a sudden, it's like I was aware of the Holy Spirit. I felt him. And it's like, here's the thing you're going to recognize. Because as you get to know him, I want him to manifest as we move through these meetings. Because it's like, it's not just theoretical. It's like you're sitting there and your spirit becomes sensitive. In the same way I can sense when my wife walks in a room or somebody, my kids walk in a room. I don't have to turn around. It's like you can feel sometimes when somebody walks. You can feel the Holy Spirit walk up in the room in your spirit. And I remember I grabbed this book. I was just sitting there, and I just randomly flipped it open out of 300 pages. And when I flipped it open randomly, it just so happened the very scripture I was asking questions about was at the top of the page. And I began to read, and the gentleman that had written the book was discoursing about that entire passage. And as I was reading it, I was like, my mind went, I was like, oh my gosh, this is so simple. And it was like this revelation began to flow, and I read this like two pages. And it was done, and I closed it, and when I did, I felt the love of God, I felt the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden I heard this voice inside of me. He said, what else do you want to know? And I began to weep. Why? He's not in it. He cared. He cared that I didn't understand what he had written. What's the chance? I don't know. You know, some of you mathematical smart folks. What's the system? You know, the statistical chance that you flip open a book to the exact. It's not right. The chance that it's like. I mean, take that. You know, it's just. So that happened. There was also a time I was sitting in an office and I was beginning to read another book, and it was about a woman in a wheelchair, and she was up at the front of this meeting at some big city back in the 40s or 50s when a lot of the healing movement was happening, and it was talking about how this pastor all of a sudden was moved with compassion, and he came down and he laid hands on this woman, and she medically got healed. And I was sitting there, and all of a sudden, it's like the Holy Spirit was there, and I felt the love of God just overwhelm me, and I began to weep. It was like I was in the meeting. Like I watched this woman stand up, and it was just a book. And it's like all of a sudden I heard that voice again. He's like, son, I love my people. And the same compassion that moved him in the book that was being written about us, like I was touching a moment that had happened 50 years ago. I wasn't there, but he wasn't. He is outside of time and space. And all of a sudden, in those moments, what's happening? And he will teach you things about me. He will reveal me. You know what? I was finding the heart of God. I was touching the master. I was touching the compassion. I was touching the reality of heaven and the eternity of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit was being my coach. He was becoming real. And it wasn't just something that I read in a book in Bible college. He was in an office when nobody was there but me, taking me 50 years back in time to a moment he witnessed and allowing my heart to be changed to go, man, I don't feel like that all the time. Or God, I'm just going, God, you love your people so dramatically. Less of me, more of you. It goes on to say in John chapter 16, but when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. And he will not speak on his own initiative, but what he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come. And he will glorify me, and he will take what is mine and make it known to you or make it available to you. Isn't that an awesome thing? Why is it Jesus said, the reason I say he will take what is mine is because all that's the Father's is mine. Everything in eternity is mine. And the Holy Spirit has access to me because he is my spirit. And whatever you need to know, whatever you need to touch, it is inside of me. And he says he is going to come to you and he's going to go to the library of heaven. He's going to go to the throne of heaven and whatever is needed, and he's going to take from heaven. You know what the prayer? God, let your will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. The Holy Spirit takes out of eternity and he brings it into the earth and he begins to give you what is not yours out of your own initiative. It's yours through the blood of Jesus. It's yours through covenant. It's yours through oneness. It's yours through the relationship of God, and he begins to put it into your life. And you don't have to beg for it, but you do need to ask. You don't need to be afraid of it. You need to be able to receive it. You don't have to be able to solve it. You got to be aware that it exists. You don't have to have all the details to figure it out. You just got to be able to ask the one who knows how to figure it out. And then when it shows up, be aware that he's coming in a room, and let all of natural life stop and go, I recognize you and I receive him. Take me. Get me in God. Get me to him. Make me like him. Less of me, more of you. Goes on chapter 14, 21. The person who, Jesus says, the person who has my commands and keeps them is the one who really loves me. And whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him. And we will show and reveal and manifest ourselves to them. And I will let myself be clearly seen by him and myself become real to him. How do I get to know Jesus? How do I get to know the heart of the Father? How do I get to know how to walk in a living God that's not just a Bible story? I receive the one in whom he sent that becomes, it says, as I love God and he loves me, the Holy Spirit says, I'm going to take you to Jesus. I'm going to take you to the Father. I'm going to take you the eternity. I'm going to take you to heaven, and I'm going to cause what is in them to be in you. See, I don't know about all y'all this, but it's like when I see this, like it makes me so hungry. It makes me humble, and it makes me hungry. It makes me humble, and it makes me, listen, I know I don't deserve God, but I'm so in love with him. I know that I have no way to get to him, but I'm so grateful that he found me. I know that I have no way to serve him in my own strength, that I will fail a million times, but I know this, you did not choose me, Scott, I chose you from the beginning of time and the foundation before your name was ever born. I know the days that were ordained for you, that were written over your life before one day was ever lived. For you are the apple of my eye, I know the hairs and the number of hairs upon your head. I know all the days that I've scheduled for you. I know the plans that I have for you, not for your destruction, but for your good. He's amazing. And as I walk with the Holy Spirit, I don't just get the Holy Spirit. I remember when I first started meeting the Holy Spirit and I first started meeting God, I didn't know who to pray to because I didn't want to leave anybody out. I was like, good morning, Jesus. Good morning, Father. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Jesus, Father, Holy Spirit, what would you like to do today? Jesus, Father, Holy Spirit. And I began to, and I was like, I don't want to leave anybody out. I want to make sure everybody got fair time. But as I begin to walk, I begin to recognize that they do speak independently to you. You will know when the Father speaks to you. Even though it's the voice of the Holy Spirit manifesting it, it will be the tenor and the tone of Father. When Jesus the King and Jesus the Lord begins to speak to you, and Jesus, you're saying, listen, Jesus is not just your best friend. I'm not going to go there. When Jesus walks into your life, listen, you know when majesty is speaking to you. You know when the King of Kings speaks to you, the King of eternity. You know when you have no response but to fall on your face and be still and know that He is God. You know when Father, even though He is Father who loves me, He's also the eternal judge. I know when the Holy Spirit, who is the paraclete, the helper, the comforter, that He never glorifies Himself. He never exalts Himself. The Holy Spirit will never make any to-do about Himself. Now, Jesus and the Father are real big about making to-do about the Holy Spirit. Then one place in the Scripture says, listen, Jesus said, you can talk about me, you can talk about my Father, but you talk about Him, we have eternal issues. Isn't it amazing how the Father and Jesus protect the Holy Spirit? Why is that? See, I'm telling you, there's things about Him you don't know. There's things in Him that you haven't seen. There's places in Him that He's wanting to reveal to you. And it doesn't have to be spooky, creepy, or so supernatural you can't get to it. It takes a hungry man and a hungry woman willing to have less of me and more of you and willing to obey what God says so that I can see what you see, become what you want me to become, and have less of me, more of you. Go ahead and roll over that next slide, please. I just want to walk through a few more scriptures for today. Are you guys all right? Yeah. Listen, I know I'm pumping a fire hose down your throat right now. That's why we put it on podcast. Go back and listen to it. Listen, you only retain about 20% of what you hear. You need to go back and listen. You need to listen. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the Word of God until it becomes revelation. If you try to live on the 20% you get out of these meetings and you're not a good steward with your own growth, I want to tell you, you're going to delay your, you're on the eternal growth plan. You'll be in heaven, still be 4 years old in God. We can edit that from the tape, but just listen. No, tell us this. I want to talk about He is the one who helps you in your daily life. The Holy Spirit comes to you and He reveals to you, because He's trying to get you to God, is that He wants to make the defiled places in you undefiled. How many of you know all of us have junk in us that don't look like God? That don't look like God. Sorry, Debbie Morgan, the English. Who doesn't look like God? The Holy Spirit comes to take the defiled places in you to make them undefiled. He's coming to walk with you to what? Get you to God, in God, more like God. Which means when He comes to you, He's not coming always to tell you how awesome you are. The Holy Spirit's job isn't to come and go, dude, I just want to tell you you're amazing. You know what He's going to say? The Bible says that as we behold Him, Jesus, we are changed by the Spirit. In other words, He's coming to say, I think you're awesome. I chose you when you didn't choose yourself, but there's a lot like you that doesn't look like me, and something's got to change. And the Holy Spirit comes to take the defiled places in you to make them undefiled so that the unholy you can walk in the presence of a holy God. Listen, this thing about in society right now, we got church life all over that says you can come to God any way you want. I want to tell you, that's a farce. An unholy you cannot come to a holy God except through the cross of Jesus. The unholy you can come to the cross where the robes are exchanged and repentance is given and forgiveness is given and washing is given and the old unsanctified you gets changed for a glorified you and a forgiven you and a washed you and a humble you and a repentant you. And He says the person who came to the cross can now enter the throne. But everything in you that hasn't went through the cross has no authority to go into the throne. So the Holy Spirit is always coming to get the defiled things in you undefiled so that you can live in the presence of eternity. Not eternity now, in the future, eternity now. So it goes on to say this. This is Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 27. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. When the Holy Spirit comes, you begin to recognize that God is not fragile, but there is a sensitivity to walking with God. There are things that make God show up, and there are things that make God step back. The holiness of the Old Testament is still the holiness of the New Testament. There's a different access point. But so when the Holy Spirit comes, he's coming to work within you. What he's saying all the way in Ezekiel, he's going, I'm going to put my spirit in you, and he's going to deal with you to the point that you're going to be so hungry for God, you're going to so want to be in the presence of God that everything that's an impediment to you, you're going to go, God, it's like repentance isn't a cuss word. Repentance becomes a gift because it's like, God, whatever is not my less of me, more of you. Whatever can't go into your presence, I want it out of me. Whatever mindsets are in me that keep me from receiving you, I want it out of me. Whatever attitude keeps me from discerning you, I want it out of me. And he says, you're going to be careful to observe my ordinances. Why? Because I recognize, listen, when you've had God show up on you and you feel his presence in a tangible way, the moment it begins to lift, you become paranoid. I'll talk about that in just a real quick second. I'm not going to go much longer today, just a few more minutes. 2 Timothy chapter 1. He said, guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in you the treasure that has been entrusted to you. Now, what is the treasure that's been entrusted to you? What are you supposed to guard through the Holy Spirit? What's the treasure that's entrusted to you? It's your actual very relationship with God. It's not your ministry call, your anointing, your I'm the prophet and the apostle. Like, that's your function. That's not the treasure that's inside of you. And he said, through the Holy Spirit, guard the treasure that is in it. The treasure is my covenant with God. The treasure is my access to the throne through the blood of Jesus at every moment of the day. The treasure is his voice speaking to me in the middle of the silence. The treasure is the light that illuminates the darkness when I don't know how to go because I'm blind. But he says, hey, even the darkness is light to me. I know how to get you out of where you are to where you need to go. But you need to guard the treasure at all costs through the person of the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit says, don't touch that. It'll lead you into darkness. Don't eat of that. It'll cause you to become dumb. Don't eat of that. Don't listen to that. It'll take your hearing away from you and make you dull. It'll cause you to begin to go, when I do this, I recognize he's closer. When I do this, I can't seem to hear his voice. And he said, the Spirit is going to be inside of you fighting to get you to God, in God, like God. To God, in God, like God. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit working with you. Galatians chapter 5, he says this down here at the bottom. We've all heard this. And it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, long-suffering. Can I tell you this? It's not fruit like a tree. You plant it, it grows up, and you got an excuse for a number of years where you can plant a tree, and sometimes it's like 3 years before the fruit show up. And people are like, well, there's no fruit because it's just growing. And God is like, well, no, you're carnal. You're fleshly. You're uncircumcised in your heart. You're unrepentant. You're stubborn. You're blind. The better translation of that is not the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's the nature of the Holy Spirit. The nature of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness. To the degree those things are not manifesting in my life is to the degree that he's not in control. So if I'm not acting in his nature, I'm not in fellowship. Now, does that mean I'm going to have it perfect one time? No, as God deals with me, what is he doing? I'm getting you in God, to God, like God, so that the divine nature can live in you. The nature, though, so the more I'm with God, it's easy to love people. The more I'm in God, it's easy to have peace. The more I'm in God, it's easy to have peace. You know what I realize? When I'm outside of God, I get anxious, I get afraid, I get judgmental. I'm talking about me. I'm sarcastic. I have a natural prophetic lens through my eye. You know what I see? I see the flaw before I see the struggle and before the solution. And many times I see the flaw to go get the solution in God. But when I don't have the God thing happening, all I see is the issue and I become critical. I know that about myself. But I also know when I'm in God, I see it and the heartbeat of God starts beating in me to figure out his perspective for that thing I'm seeing. So we want the nature of God inside of our lives. That's another thing he's fighting for. Man. Can you give me 5 more minutes? Go on ahead and whoever's doing my keyboard, when am I going to come up here? I just want to take you through a couple more pieces here very quickly for today. We'll pick up the rest next week. Go ahead and roll over that next slide, please. I want to talk about this today. The Holy Spirit lives with you everywhere you go, and you need to be aware of him. Don't grieve him. Don't quench him. Don't resist. Don't rebel against him. Don't insult him. Paul gave this story just a couple weeks ago. from another minister, and I know who the gentleman is, but he was talking about how the Holy Spirit is referenced in the scripture like the dove. It says the dove came to land on Jesus when he was being baptized at the Jordan. And the gentleman gave the picture of how the Holy Spirit, like a bird landing on your shoulder, that how you walk will determine if it stays with you or not, or if it flies off, it's fluttery. And when you're aware of the person of the Holy Spirit, like I was talking about, it's like he comes upon you. You're aware that he's with you, and I'm aware that I'm the temple, and where I go, he goes, and what I see, he sees, and what I do, he does, and how I respond, he witnesses those things. Give me just one second, Paige. And it's like I'm moving around. It's like, but the Holy Spirit is there, and it's like I have to be aware of him. And listen, the moment I lose awareness of him, listen, have you ever done this? You ever sinned and been like pricked real quick in your heart, and you're like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. But then you kind of blow it off, and you say it again, or you watch it again, or you go there again, and the next time it happens, it's like, I feel kind of bad about that. The next time you happen again, I didn't really feel God's conviction at all. Maybe it's not that big of a deal. Did God change his mind? No, the Bible says that you begin to suffer the hardness of heart and the dullness of hearing. When we don't respond adequately to the Holy Spirit, he first pricks us, then he encourages us, and then he leaves us to our decision. And sometimes the silence of God is not the pleasure of God. Sometimes the silence of God is you're stepping away from him. He doesn't leave you. We step off the journey with him. And many times he'll stand and wait to the place that you were last with him until you're aware, and then he lets you come back to that place. Let me show you this. So it goes on right here. I wanted to show this with you very quickly. Isaiah chapter 63 says, "But they rebelled and they grieved the Holy Spirit, and God turned himself to become their enemy, and he fought against them." This is Old Testament. New Testament, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. These are commands. Verse Hebrews chapter 10, "How much severe punishment do you think we will deserve, those who have trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded unclean the blood of the covenant and has insulted the Spirit of grace?" So he can be insulted, he can be ignored, he can be quenched, he can be grieved, he can be resisted. If you're willingly wrestling, the Bible says for you to know to do right and not do it, it becomes sin. When God pricks our heart, if I know the scripture gives me a command about something, but I refuse to respond to that scripture, you're in blatant disobedience, not to just the scripture and your own thought. You can't justify. You know what you're in? You're in resistance or rebellion, or you're quenching or grieving the Holy Spirit in that moment. And I want you to, because he's a person, it's like the moment you grieve, he kind of steps back, and you don't want him to step away. You want him to draw near. Go on and give me some keyboard. We'll go into this in a little bit later in another point, but let me say this real quickly. David in Psalms 51, he sinned and he grieved God. He grieved his relationship. It's where he had the affair with Bathsheba and he killed her husband Uriah. And his friend had to confront him, and the Holy Spirit smote his heart, trying to get him in God, like God, to God, less of him and more of God, and to restore him. And David comes to this place and he says, "God, before you and you alone have I blown it. I've sinned against you alone." But he makes this incredible prayer right here in Psalms 51. He says, "Oh God, create in me a clean heart, a desirous heart. Renew a loyal and a steadfast spirit within me. Don't banish me from your presence. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Don't take me from the place that you speak to me. Don't remove me, God, from the place that you revealed yourself." Why would he cry out like that? Why would he have that kind of cry? Listen, you don't cry out for what you've never had. Let me pick it up a little bit. You don't become desirous for things that you haven't had. But when it costs you something, it's totally different. I was thinking this morning about the folks that were murdered in San Antonio just a few months ago with that Walmart shooting. You know, we can read that kind of stuff in the news and you can begin to go, oh my gosh, it was a mass shooter and 29 people lost their lives this morning. And oh, that is horrible. That is terrible. Did you see it? It's on Fox News, on CNN. Man, Cecil, you want to go get a burger? You busy after church? Why can you read such tragedy but it not have a deep loss or impact to you? Why? Because it's not personal to you. It didn't cost you anything. But to the woman who got the phone call that her son was still in Walmart, and the daughter who was looking for her mother that never made it into the parking lot, or the young baby whose parents were shot dramatically protecting it that someday will grow up, it's like that story had a deep impact because it wasn't just something that happened outside of them. It was something that cost them something. And there's a difference when you're in God, when you have something in Him that in David began to recognize, I've walked with you, I have touched you, I have felt you in the middle of the night, I have seen you in the temple. I have seen your power and your glory, he goes on to write. And he said, God, I have sinned. There's something in me that isn't totally walking. He's like, God, whatever you do, whatever you have to do to make it right, that's fine. Just the one thing I ask, the one plea I have, God, is that you don't take your Holy Spirit from me. You don't let him quit talking to me. You don't take, why? Because it was going to cost him something to wake up in the morning and him not be there. When you have got a relationship with the Holy Spirit that's not a story, he's a man and a person that's working with you. The moment you wake up and his presence doesn't greet you because of something you said or somewhere you've been or something you've done, it shudders the inside of your heart and you begin to go, God, I don't know what's off. I'm not sure what has happened, but I don't want to go through the day without you. I don't want to go through this storm without you. I don't want to go through another season without, oh God, create in me a clean heart. Whatever you got to do to get me and restore me right with you, oh God. Whatever you do, Lord, don't step away. Don't step away from me. Don't quit talking. Why? Because it will cost me something. Roll over to that last slide, please. And the Holy Spirit right now is working with us and he's drawing us and he's inviting us right now to a place to not just know about him, but to walk with him and to be with him so that he's not something that other people experience. He's what you experience, that he's getting you to God and you in God and you like God, that there's less of you and more of him, that as far into him as you can imagine you can become, as far into him as you desire you can possess, all you've got to be willing to do is put in the time to build the relationship, to respond to his word, to obey his leadings, to let him guide you. He says right here in the book of Romans, but if you are living by the flesh, you will die. But if by the Holy Spirit you're putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For it is God who is at work inside of you, both to do and to will his good pleasure. The only reason you're desiring God is because he's calling you by name. The only reason hunger grows in you is not because you're so righteous. It's because he is already calling you like Samuel. He's calling you by name to come walk with me, come see me, come hear me, come dialogue with me, come be something in me that we have not been. He goes on to say in John chapter 6, verse 44, now no one is able to come to the Father, unless, come to me, Jesus saying, no one is able to come to me unless the Father who sent me attracts and draws him and gives him the desire to come to me. The only reason that I desire a relationship with God, the only reason I desire a relationship with the Holy Spirit is because Father is calling me by name through the authority and the forgiveness of his son Jesus, through the agent of the Holy Spirit who says, come on son, come on daughter, I want you to come be in me. I want you to know me like you've not known me. Hear my voice like you've not heard. Go where we've not been. Let's go do in the earth what you were born to do. Come walk with me and be in me and walk with me and do things with me. I'm calling you. The desire to be and find God. If there is something stirring inside of you out of this message, it's not because Scott Woodard has anything to say. That is the finger of the Holy Spirit and Daddy God calling you by name. Say, come on, come up higher. Come see something with me where you've never been. Go on ahead and go over. Turn that last slide. Luke 11 says this, last one. Paul, I might need some help here. All across this room, I recognize that the Holy Spirit right now in this season is calling individuals to come walk with him and to take you to Jesus. And there may be mindsets that have kept you from getting to God. There may be places you've ignored the Word of God. There may be places you have justified your disobedience. There may be places that you haven't even known that's what that was God stirring it in me. But He's still calling you by name this morning, saying, listen, all you got to do is repent where you've disobeyed. All you got to do is ask where you can't see. All you got to do is listen where you haven't been able to hear. All you got to do is receive what I'm trying to bring you. You don't have to work and sweat to get into my presence. You just got to be willing to let me inside of your world, and I will begin to bring you to God and with God to be like God. And I recognize in this season that the person of the Holy Spirit is visiting our church as we go out into the city, because it's not that He's so in love with this box. He's in love with a people, and we're not all here. The ones that He's called by name, we're not all here. And He's searching the streets, and He's searching the city. He's on the campus, and He's running through office complex, and He's out at RTP, and He's working in cubicles, and He's going down shopping, because He's looking the earth, going, every son and every daughter must be accounted for, because my Father from the beginning wants to walk with His people. It says that he took pleasure, those who were called by His name, that they should be given the right to be called the sons and daughters of God, that they would know Him and walk with Him and be with Him for eternity, and that eternity doesn't start after death. Eternity starts now. And He says this, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to him who knocks and keeps knocking and keeps knocking and keeps knocking, the door will be open. God, I want, there must be more. God, there must be more. God, I need my family to find you. God, I need wisdom in the earth. God, I need to know how to steward the resources for your kingdom. God, I need a deeper place in you. Lord, I want to be what I was born to be in the earth. God, I want to hear your voice. God, I want to lay hands on men and women and be a vehicle that you can move into the earth. I want every unclean thing to be out of me. I don't want to be a conduit of the Spirit-led life of God in the earth. I want to hear the anointed voice of God say, well done, my son. I want the anointed voice of Jesus to declare behind me, hear him, this is my son in whom I find great pleasure. For if a son asks for bread from a father among you, who will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, who's going to give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, who would offer him a scorpion? If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them who ask? Come on, put this up right here. Pick it up. Listen, right here, all over this room. This morning, I'm like, Holy Spirit, what do you want to do? There's like, there is a place where I feel like the Holy Spirit's like, I want men and women to begin to ask me to come to them. You may not get the full encounter. There's days of infilling. There's days of baptism coming. There's days of equipping. There's days of anointing that's coming upon this church. But this morning, I'm in the Holy Spirit. Last week, I feel like He's like, keep it simple. But this morning, I feel like He's like, there's a place of asking to receive me. There's a place of asking me to come. There's a place of asking me to come to their world. There's a place. And it's like, I'm going to hear the petition. I'm going to hear the request. I'm going to hear, because how much more will your Father give you the Holy Spirit to them that ask? I want to ask you right now. There is something stirring in your heart all over this church that you just begin to stand like up before the throne of heaven, that you would reach your hands toward heaven like you would reach your hands toward the throne of Jesus. And if there is something, if you would love a relationship with the Holy Spirit to be new, if you want the voice of God to be new, if you want the encounter of God to be new right here, there is a place. He said, if you will ask, you will receive. If you will petition, you will receive. If you will knock, it will be open to you. I want to begin to ask you all over this church right here that you begin to put your attention toward the Lord, that you begin to let your own prayer begin to rise. Let's begin to fill this room right here with just the request of the Lord. That's like, I want you to begin to ask the Holy Spirit to come to you. Ask the Holy Spirit. Invite Him to come speak. Invite Him to come visit. Invite Him to come talk. Invite Him to come encounter. Invite Him to come and fill. Come on, Lord.